Okay. So in Perek Aleph of Shara Aleph, the Nefesh HaChaim defined B'Tzelem Elohim, that were created in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, along the lines of the Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim, and taking kind of a rationalist approach, and that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu endowed us with certain qualities and attributes that are similar kviyachol to that of the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, and of course that mandates and obligates us to locate those attributes and qualities that are similar to that of the Ribbono Shel Olam, of Mahu Chanun, Nafato Chanun, Mahu Rachum, Avato Rachum, and to fulfill our potential in these areas and following in the ways of the Ribbono Shel Olam. However, at the beginning of Perek Aleph, the Nefesh HaChaim already alluded to the fact, or stated outright, that this has a much deeper meaning as well. In fact, he claimed that this is really the basis for much of what is is the Teres HaKabbalah, and it's found in the Zohar HaKadosh, is really seeing the Ribbono Shel Olam's footprint and fingerprints throughout all of the Teva and the Bria, and that Kadosh Baruch Hu created not only us, but really the entire Bria in his image, and therefore his presence is found perhaps most concentrated form in a human being, but really throughout the Bria itself. And the Nefesh HaChaim in Perek Beis is going to begin to now peel back some of the layers beyond that which the Rambam told us in the Mor Nevuchim, the more obvious or straightforward approach that the Kadosh Baruch Hu endowed us with certain qualities and attributes that are similar to that of himself, and therefore we have to locate those items and fulfill that potential. But also, he's going to now get into some of the more deeper aspects of what it means to be created B'Tzelem Elohim, and his opening to do so is with a question. And his question is, why is it that the Torah states that we're created in the image of Elohim as opposed to one of the other Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is known by many different names, the Shem Havaya, the Shem Shakai, Tzvakois, all of the different names of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to create Adam HaRishon, not B'Tzelem Elohim, as opposed to B'Tzelem Havaya? Now that seems a little bit obvious. Havaya doesn't relate. That's a non-transferable, like it states on the bottom of the tickets. Hashem Havaya is pretty unique and reserved for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but perhaps one of the other names of the Ribbono Shel Olam, B'Tzelem Kel, or B'Tzelem, B'Tzelem Shakai. Why specifically B'Tzelem Elohim? Now, the premise of his question is that B'Tzelem Elohim means they were created in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And in fact, the Targum Yonis and Ben Uziel and the Rambam and the Ramban and his Perush and Chumash and many others understood that phrase in the Torah as well in the same way, that B'Tzelem Elohim means we're created in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, and that's why he asked, why does it say B'Tzelem Elohim and not B'Tzelem some other name? However, Rashi and Chumash actually says something else. Rashi is commenting on the pasuk Vayomer Elokim Nase Adam Bitzalmenu Kidmusenu, in our image and in our likeness. Why is it in the plural? So Rashi claims in the name of the Medrash, because Adam HaRishon was not created in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather in the image of the Malachim, and before HaKadosh Baruch Hu would make dugmaot, copies or other versions of the Malachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu consulted with them first. And Rashi says it's coming to teach us midos, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is clearly the boss, you should consult with those who work beneath you, even though you don't really need their permission. That's kind of the proper etiquette. If they're going to be involved in something, or you're going to be, taking their likeness, you should really ask their permission first, even though you don't necessarily have to, and this is coming to teach us midos. And of course, even though this comes at the expense of the fact that it gives an opening to those who want to claim that there is a multiple gods, because over here it's phrased in the plural, Nasa Adam Bitzalmenu Kid Musainu. Nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emphasizing that midos take preference sometimes, even if those might give an opening to those who want to deny the presence of one entity that's really in charge of the entire world, as opposed to multiple entities. HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt the priority was to demonstrate proper midos, even at the expense of giving an opening to those who want to deny his existence. However, Rashi there comments, based on the language of the pasuk, that we're created not in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in the image of the Malachim. However, you must compromise on that, because the following pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon in his image. So what's going on? Are we creating the image of the Malachim? We're creating the image of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So it seems that the truth of the matter is we're creating the image of the Malachim, which is really also itself a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Malachim themselves demonstrate or represent different attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, and you know, each one has a unique mission to carry out that Ratzon of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and therefore the Malachim's description, the Malachim's appearance is probably a manifestation of that Ratzon and that attribute, that Midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so the Malachim themselves are, you know, a manifestation of an image or a reflection of the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we, perhaps a little bit more watered down, or perhaps similar to that of the Malachim, we are also therefore a reflection not only of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but really of the Malachim as well, because we're both kind of in the same category as a reflection of the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So fine, okay, so it's just a technical point. The assumption of the question was, we're created B'Tzelem Elokim means in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ah, Rashi says on Chumash, we're created B'Tzelem HaMalachim. The answer is, really, we and the Malachim are really in the same boat, that we're all a reflection, a manifestation of the Ribbono Shel Olam. But why then does the Torah choose, you know, coming back to the question of the Nefesh HaChayim, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose to describe himself here in this setting as the creating man B'Tzelem Elokim, as opposed to B'Tzelem, some other name of the Ribbono Shel Olam? And the Nefesh HaChayim answers based on the language of what he claims is the Tur. The truth of the matter is, it's not found in the Tur. Many of the Mefarshim on the Nefesh HaChayim point out that it's only found in the language of the Shulchan Aruch, where the Shulchan, it's based on a comment of the Tur, but this language is really only found in the Shulchan Aruch, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, the name Elohim represents that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Baal HaKoychos Kulam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the owner or in charge of all of the forces that exist within the world. What is the implication of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Baal HaKoychos Kulam? So Nefesh HaChayim claims that really has two implications. The first is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything that exists, Yesh Me'ayin. And in that sense, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Baal HaKoychos Kulam, because he created everything himself. Nothing exists without, of course, the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's one of the Yugim Me'ikri Amunah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything in the world. And nothing exists without the Ribbono Shel Olam. But then, the Nefesh HaChayim claims that this really has a second implication as well, and that is that nothing continues to exist without a Kadosh Baruch Hu who's willing it to continue to exist. So even though a Kadosh Baruch Hu created everything, that doesn't necessarily mean that that continues to exist on its own. It only continues to exist because a Kadosh Baruch Hu constantly expresses his will that it should continue to exist. There's no such concept as inertia or that it was once so, so therefore it has to continue to be so. And he contrasts it with a person who builds a house. He says a person who builds a house buys or produces whatever the materials that he needs to produce, you know, to build a house. But once he builds the house continues to exist with or without his involvement. Kadosh Baruch Hu, though, that is not the case. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, created everything. He built the house, and then it only continues to exist because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wills it so. And the truth of the matter is, this is already found in the Rambam, in his first comment at the beginning of Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, where the Rambam begins, Yesod HaYesodeis V'Amar HaChochmois. The Rambam notes, at the beginning of the Rambam Sefer, the Mishnah Torah, he begins with a Rashi Tevis of the Shem Havaya, Yud Hei Vavin Hei. That's why many other Baalei Mechabrim, people write Sfarim, begin with the Rashi Tevis of Yud Hei Vavin Hei. It's based off the Rambam. The Rambam begins with the Shem Havaya, Yesod HaYesodeis V'Amar HaChochmois B'Rashi Tevis Havaya, Leidash Yesham Motzi Rishon. There is one cause, a creator for everything. V'hu Mamzi Kol Mimsa, and he is the one who continues to will it to exist. V'chol HaNimtza Mishamayim V'Aretz Mash V'Neim Lo Nimtzu Ela Machmas Hamtza'o. Kadosh Baruch Hu not only created it, but he continues to create it constantly in that he wills it to exist. And that is what is meant when we say in davening, HaMechadesh B'tuvai B'chol Yom Tom in Maaseh Bereishis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mechadesh every day, a Maaseh Bereishis, not only because he created everything, but he continues to will it to exist. The Beis Halevi has a famous comment in the second parak of Parashas Bereishis, where he claims that that's the pshat in the pasuk. In Parashas Bereishis, where the Torah states the connection with Shabbos, Vayechal Aleikim Bayoyim Hashvi Malach LeYashar Asa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu concluded all of the activities that he did on the seventh day. So the Medrash comments, what? Shabbos Bamenucha, when Shabbos came, Menucha was created. There was a creation on the seventh day as well. What prompted Chazal to claim that something was created on the seventh day as well, and that was rest? Why was that? Where did they see an opening in the Pasuk to interject that comment? So the Beis Halevi claims that it's because the Pasuk says, Vayechal Elokim Bayoyim Hashvi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu concluded on the seventh day. One minute, he didn't conclude on the seventh day, he concluded on the sixth day, all of creation. Why does it say he only concluded on the seventh day? So Beis Halevi explains that it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything anew for the first 6 days of creation. The seventh day of creation, Kadosh Baruch Hu was still creating. What was he creating on the seventh day? No, what he was creating on the seventh day was Ba Shabbos, Ba Menucha. He created this reality that even though nothing new necessarily is coming into existence, the very fact that the Bria continues to exist in essence is really something new. Because nothing should continue to exist just because it existed once doesn't necessarily demand that it should continue to exist unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu wills it so. So the first 6 days of creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Barei Yesh Mayayin. The seventh day of creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was also creating. That's why it wasn't until Vayichal Elokim Bayoyim HaShviim Alachter Asher Asa. He was still creating on the seventh day. What was he creating on the seventh day? On the seventh day, he was creating Bo Shabbos, Bo Menucha. He was creating the fact that, you know, that he could sustain the Bria beyond just being creating Yesh Mayayin. So that's what, that was what was continued to be created on the seventh day, and that's where the Medrash is coming, Bo Shabbos, Bo Menucha. However, then the Nefesh HaChaim in the Hagah, in his footnote, asks a question on this. If that's the case, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Baal HaKadosh Kulam, and that's what's implied by the Shem Elikim, and we're going to have to explain how that relates to a creation of Adam HaRishon. However, if the name Elikim is unique in that it represents a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Baal HaKadosh Kulam, which implies two things. Number one, he created everything Yeshmeyah. Number two, he continues to will to exist, and that's what a Kadosh Baruch Hu created on the seventh day. The first 6 days was Yeshmeyah. And the seventh day, Kadosh Baruch Hu sustained the Bria. How could we say Hamachadesh Betuvah Bechol Yom Tamid? A Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mechadesh every day. Nothing new is happening. Yes, it's true. The whole world would be like a deck of cards and would fall down unless a Kadosh Baruch Hu continued, you know, to inject it with His Ratzon. But how can we call that Hamachadesh Betuvah Bechol Yom Tamid? What new is coming into existence? How could we relate this to the word new? So the Reb Chaim Volozhiner explains, based on a comment that's prevalent in the Zohar HaKodesh and other Jewish thinkers, I don't want to get involved in the larger context of where this came from and how this has developed over time, but really there are four yesodos, four primary building blocks of everything that exists within the world, and of course this thinking process was beyond just Judaism, but Eish, Ruach, Mayim, and Ofar. Everything in the world is created out of these four basic primary items, like primary colors, that are fire, wind, water, and dirt. Now, we're compared, the human being is usually compared to fire, as the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Ner Hashem, Nishmas Adam. And perhaps that's because, you know, all the other three are stationary, right? Water more or less is stationary, unless you have waves pushing it back and forth, or a gravitational pull, or the dirt, I guess Ruach is, you can have stagnant air, but fire is moving constantly. It never sits in one place. So human beings are like the fire. We're never in one place. We're constantly moving up or down, closer or further away from the Ribbono Shel Olam. But you have these four building blocks, really, of everything that exists within the world. And the Rambam echoes this, or documents it, in Perek Daled of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. The Rambam writes, Arba gufim halalu shem esh v'ruach umayim v'aretz heim yisodeis kol nivram lamata min arakia. That really constitutes the basic building blocks of everything in this world. And the Nefesh HaChaim writes, not here, but later on, in Shai Gimel Perek Yud, that these four building blocks of everything that exists within the world, Eish, Mayim, Ruach, and Afar, correspond to the four letters of the Shem Havaya. Each one represents one of these different building blocks of the world. And that's why everything in the world comes in denominations of 12. That's what it says in the Sefer Yetzirah. Why? Because, let's say a cube, right, which represents a three-dimensional item, represents, you know, the most that we can perceive is 3D. So a cube, which, you know, in this physical world in which we live, there are other dimensions which are beyond, you know, our grasp. But in the three-dimensional world in which we live, there's, how many edges do you have to the cube? You have 12 edges to the cube. And the Sefer Yetzirah explains that that represents the natural world, bimiluo, the fullest sense of the natural world. That's why there's 12 months in the year, and 12 shvatim, and 12 hours during the day, and 12 hours during the night. 12 represents that which is the natural world in its fullest possible sense. Why the number 12? Because the Shem Havaya can be rearranged in 12 different ways. If you have four letters or four numbers, you should be able to get 16 different combinations. However, over here we really only have 12 because two of the letters are the same, right? There's two heys, yud hey, vav and hey. So we're limited. Instead of having 16 different combinations or permutations, we only have 12. And because the Shem Havaya could be rearranged in 12 different ways, so too we have 12 represents the Bria Bimiluo. Now the 12 hours of the day, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, Perek Vav Halacha Beis, are really broken down to 1,080 Chalakim. You might know this from the time when we bench Rosh Chodesh and Shul, they announced the Moeled will be at such and such time, and so many Chalakim. What are these Chalakim? Because every hour, the Rambam claims, can be broken down into 1,080 Chalakim. Where did this 1,080 come from? So Vilna Gaon explains in his comments at the end of the Sefer Yetzirah that it's because if you take the Shem Havaya, right, just the four letters alone, you only get 12 combinations. But 1 minute, what about the Nekudos? There's six Nekudos. What are the Nekudos? You have a Kamat, you have a Tzere, a Cholem, a Chirik, a Kubutz, and a Shva. So if you mix in the six Nekudos, the primary Nekudos, together with these four letters, now we have 1,080 possible combinations of permutations with all of the vowels that are mixed in. So the Bria, really, then, is a manifestation of all of the different permutations and combinations of the Shem Havaya together with the Nekudos, and that's why time and space is really a manifestation of all of that. So therefore, the Nefesh HaChaim claims that when we say in davening, HaMechadesh Betua B'chol Yom Tamid, what we're referring to the fact is that everything in the world is really a manifestation of a combination of these four primary items, which are really Esh Mayim Ruach Hanafa, which are really coming and represent the four names, the four letters of the Shem Havaya, and together with the Nekudos, right, is 1,080 and represents all these different permutations and combinations. And the Bria is constantly in a fluid state of flux, that it's switching combinations and this combination and that combination, and that's how the Bria continues to exist. It doesn't continue to exist only because the Kadosh Baruch Hu continues to will it so, but the combinations, the building blocks of creation of the world, are constantly in a state of switching and changing and flow. And of course, Rahu is constantly switching and rearranging the building blocks of the world in order to allow it to continue to exist. So when we say HaMechadesh B'tuba B'chol Yom Tamid, referring to the fact is that even though the world continues to exist, as it seems like, you know, Olam Kemin Hagenoeg, how can we say that, you know, it's a Chidush, like as if there's something that's changing, something that's new, what it refers to the fact is that the world only continues to exist through the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu keeps rearranging the letters of his name, together with the Nekudos, which really represents how the Bria continues to exist, but the names, the building blocks, the code, right, you know, the motherboard of the world is constantly switching. And that's why we can say HaMechadesh B'tuba B'chol Yom Tamid. Next time we have to figure out if the world is constantly changing, and the world is constantly only exists because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wills it so, why don't we see it? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose to hide himself behind the mask of Teva if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really HaMechadesh B'tuba B'chol Yom Tamid? And Mir Shem will deal with that next time. Yeah.